Elmshaven, St. Helena, California, April 15, 1904. My dear brother, I wish to write you a few lines regarding the work in San Diego. We have long desired to see sanitarium work established at this place, not that we ourselves may be benefited, but that those who have never heard the truth may have an opportunity of hearing the last message of mercy to be given to the world. If you have known and enjoyed the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the assurance of the grace of God, the hope of the gospel of Christ, your heart must be drawn out in an earnest longing that the work may extend rapidly while mercy's sweet voice is still heard, inviting perishing souls to come to the Savior. I have long looked with great interest upon the work in San Diego and Los Angeles, hoping that right moves would be made and that sanitarium work might be established. I have known the crowds of tourists who visit these places, and I have longed that men moved by the Holy Spirit might be impressed to meet these people with the message borne by John the Baptist. Of him we read, "In those days came John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, and saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by Esaias, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his garment of camel's hair, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." Matthew 3, verse 1 to 6. Just such a work as this needs to be done today. But many false prophets are gone forth, and there are many who bring in false doctrines. Men and women are led to walk in forbidden paths, but the Lord has ordained that his work shall be established in many places. I have been instructed that there are buildings suitable for our work and out of the cities, which can be purchased at a low price. The Lord has presented these buildings before me and has given light that sanitariums should be established. As the people of God, we must take advantage of the favorable opening for sanitarium work in Southern California, where the climate is so favorable for this work. The Lord means that sanitariums shall be established there, and that from these sanitariums shall go forth the light of truth for this time. By them the claims of the true Sabbath are to be presented, and the third angel's message is to be proclaimed. We are endeavoring to carry out the instruction that the Lord has given us. Institutions in which medical missionary work can be done are to be regarded as especially essential to the advancement of the Lord's work. The sick and suffering are to be relieved, and then, as opportunity offers, they are to be given instruction in regard to the truth for this time. Thus, we can reach a class of people that we could reach in no other way. To the sanitarium established in Southern California, people will come from far and near, from all parts of the world, because the fame of the climate there is worldwide. There are many other places in Southern California besides Los Angeles and San Diego in which sanitarium work could be started. The buildings secured for this work should be out of the cities, in rural districts, so that as the sick recover, they need not be kept inside four walls, but will be able to live as much as possible in the open air. By the beauty of field and flower, their minds will be diverted from themselves, from their aches and pains, and they will be led to look from nature to the God of nature, who has provided so abundantly the beauties of the natural world. The convalescent can lie in the shade of the trees, and those who are stronger can have flower gardens to tend, doing just a little at first, and increasing their efforts as they grow stronger. Working in the gardens, gathering flowers and fruit, listening to the birds praising God, they will be wonderfully blessed. Angels of God will draw near to them. They will forget their sorrows. Melancholy and depression will leave them. The fresh air and sunshine and the exercise will bring them life and vitality. In our medical institutions, clear instruction should be given in regard to temperance. The patients should be shown the evil of intoxicating liquor and the blessing of total abstinence. They should be asked to discard the things that have ruined their health, and the place of these things should be supplied with an abundance of fruit. Oranges, lemons, prunes, peaches, and many other varieties can be obtained, for the Lord's world is productive if painstaking effort is put forth.
And as the sick are led to put forth physical effort, the wearied brain and nerves will find relief, and pure water and wholesome, palatable food will build them up and strengthen them. They will feel no need for health-destroying drugs or intoxicating drink. But I will go no further on this line. The proclamation of truth is needed to prepare a people to stand in this time of increasing wickedness and violence. Men and women are to be shown the need of loving God supremely and keeping His commandments. There are but two classes in our world: those who keep God's law, and who, in obedience, find health and peace and joy, and those who transgress, and in transgression reap the terrible results of self-indulgence. Drugged liquors are making men and women mad. The use of these liquors is filling the insane asylums. Violence and crime are rapidly increasing. In this time of iniquity, the Lord would have memorials for him established in many places, that genuine medical missionary work may be done. In these institutions, Bible principles are to be taught. Men and women are to be healed of physical disease and are to be led to the Savior, that they may hear him saying, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Matthew 9, verse 2. Our sanitariums are to be conducted upon principles that will meet the approbation of the great medical missionary who went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and healing all manner of disease among the people. We are now called upon to show an unselfish interest in establishing sanitarium work in Los Angeles and in San Diego. Sanitariums and treatment rooms are greatly needed in these places. A work is to be done that will open the Bible to the sick and suffering and point them to the great medical missionary. The establishment of institutions such as I have spoken of in this letter is the work that the Lord laid upon my husband and myself 35 years ago. Since then, we have seen great good done in the line of gospel medical missionary work. A new and decided interest is now to be shown by our people in this work. In the establishment and carrying forward of the work, the strictest economy is ever to be shown. Workers are to be employed who will be producers as well as consumers. In no case is money to be invested for display. The gospel medical missionary work is to be carried forward in simplicity, as was the work of the Majesty of Heaven, who, seeing the necessities of a lost, sinful world, laid aside his royal robe and kingly crown, and clothed his divinity with humanity, that he might stand at the head of humanity. He so conducted his missionary work as to leave a perfect example for human beings to follow. "If any man will come after me," he declared, "let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16, verse 24. Every true medical missionary will obey these words. He will not strain every nerve to follow worldly customs and make a display, thus thinking to win souls to the Savior. No, no. If the Majesty of Heaven could leave his glorious home to come to a world all seared and marred by the curse, to establish correct methods of doing medical missionary work, we, his followers, ought to practice the same self-denial and self-sacrifice. Christ gives to all the invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. If all will wear Christ's yoke, if all will learn in his school the lessons that he teaches, there will be sufficient means to establish gospel medical missionary work in many places. Let none say, "I will engage in this work for a stipulated sum. If I do not receive this sum, I will not do the work." Those who say this show that they are not wearing Christ's yoke. They are not learning his meekness and lowliness. Christ might have come to the world with a retinue of angels, but instead he came as a babe and lived a life of lowliness and poverty. His glory was in his simplicity. He suffered for us the privations of poverty. Shall we refuse to deny ourselves for his sake? Shall we refuse to become medical missionary workers unless we can follow the customs of the world, making a display such as worldlings make? Consider the life and sufferings of the Son of the Infinite God. To save a race of sinners, he lived a life of poverty and self-denial. To one who asked if he might follow him, he said, "Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." Luke 9, verse 58. Shall those who profess to be his followers refuse to engage in the work of helping their suffering fellow beings unless they can be placed in a position that will not lessen their dignity?
My brother, my sister, take up your work right where you are. Do your best, ever looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. In no other way can we do the work of God and magnify his truth than by following in the footsteps of him who gave up his high command to come to our world, that through his humiliation and suffering, human beings might become partakers of the divine nature. For our sake he became poor, that through his poverty we might come into possession of the eternal riches. It is not being rich in the wealth of the world that increases our value in God's sight. It is the meek and the contrite that the Lord acknowledges and honors. Read the 57th chapter of Isaiah. Study this chapter carefully, for it means much to the people of God. I will make no comments upon it. If you will study it carefully and prayerfully, you will become wise unto salvation. Thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Verse 15. Read the 57th chapter and learn the lesson that this chapter contains. These chapters are full of precious instructions. But I will come directly to the point. My brother, we need means to advance the work at the capital of our nation. Do you not wish to have a part in the work that the Lord has given us to do? Will you not do your best to help us to secure the facilities that we must have in order to advance the work at Washington, D.C.? We wish also to establish a sanitarium at San Diego. 5 miles from San Diego, there is a building which seems very suitable for sanitarium work, and we are endeavoring to make arrangements to purchase this building. We have borrowed money to pay for it. We are not purchasing it to gain advantage for ourselves, but to help in carrying forward of the work that Christ has given us to do, the work outlined in the following scripture. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you." Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Mark 16, verse 17, 18. "Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Acts 1, verse 8. "And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end." Matthew 28, verse 20. Intelligent, self-denying, self-sacrificing men are now needed. Men who realize the solemnity and importance of God's work, and who, as Christian philanthropists, will fulfill the commission of Christ. The medical missionary work given us to do means something to every one of us.
It is a work of soul-saving. It is the proclamation of the gospel message.